Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to take a couple of moments here and share with you a passage of Scripture. It's part of a prophecy from Scripture that should get our attention today. It was for the people then, but as we know, all Scripture is given to us to benefit us today. And so we're going to pull something out of this that helps us. You know, last week, Sue Williamson, my wife, she spoke last week, and just a marvelous message on prayer. And to follow up on that in some way, I just sense that, you know, maybe this is what the Lord would have for me. I could title this message, it would be, When God Won't Listen. Listen to me. This, and he is merciful that he is obligated to listen to me. No matter how I live or what I do, he's gracious and merciful, and therefore I got him over a barrel because that's his nature. Well, I want you to know that that's kind of a poor understanding of God. And it's not that there's some things that we can do in our life to the point that he will not listen to us. Turn to the person next to you and say, well, you better pay attention to this. God, you better pay attention to this. He is full of grace and truth and mercy. And he is compassionate towards us. And when he I want you to know, by the time that he chooses to do this, he will have expressed great patience. And as we look at this, we're going to understand the reason he won't listen to us has nothing to do with him, but has everything to do with me. Three Old Testament books, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, these three books really work together. And if you were to read through them, you will see that they are encouraging God's people to finish the rebuilding of the temple. That they were supposed to do this and finish this because as they finish the temple, it's God's presence would return in a significant way to his people. And it just happens to be what is going on in this point in history that we could read about. And the return of God's presence to the temple and to the people, which is very important, and also futuristically, that Jesus, when he arrives on the scene, and we look at the Gospels, he makes reference to the temple, visits the temple, and significant things happen around this temple. And so this temple being completed is a restoration of God's presence. It also has to do with the future ministry of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, coming and ministering and all of that. So what is happening right now is very important for them, but we can pull some truth out of this for our own life. And so as we look at this, there's a passage in here that I want using his prophets to speak to God's people. That is a bit of a sad commentary. And it And so I want us to look at Zechariah chapter 7. Now, chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 6, is probably one of the scriptures that is probably quoted, maybe, you know, one of the most that's quoted in the Old Testament. And it's and we use it, Christians use it, and it says, or, but by my spirit. Oh, you got that real loud. You know, not by my spirit. That's like me singing words to a song. I forget the words, I kind of hear the melody, and then I come to a word I know. Zechariah is quoting the Lord. He's revealing as a prophet to God's people. He says, when you come to building this temple, and he brings the news that they're going to rebuild the temple, and there's some good news for God's people when they do this. You will do this, but it will be by my spirit. And it's part of this package that comes. But chapter 7, you see, they've known a time where always, not just, you know, everybody had food in their home and had a lot of belongings, but just God's presence and the prosperity of relationship that they had, and things that just spoke of their God's blessing upon their life. And then it became lost. And God was wanting to return them and bring them into those days. And he talks about why it was lost and what will hold up the blessing and what has held up God listening to them. We're going to read about it. So in Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah is there and he's asking the Lord in the first few verses, do you want me to do what I've done in years past at this time of the year? Do you want me to abstain from food? Do you want me to weep? Do you want me to go into this designated time of intense seeking of you and humbling myself and praying? And the Lord responds. And the word of the Lord, in verse 4, it says, of hosts, came to him and said, say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets? Now get this, former prophets. God has been sending them messengers for years, for generations, sending them messengers with messages from the Lord. And we will find out that there was a point messenger who brought it, who God had sent. Wants you to render true judgments. Wants you to show kindness. Wants you to show mercy to one another. You see, they can fast and pray and do a lot of religious things, just like you and I. But how they really live their life in private and outside the temple, or you and I outside of the church, how we treat people and operate our relationships, what personal convictions do we operate by? Listen to the Lord. Do we respond that we know? See, the Lord is starting to bring them to a place where you used to be inhabited and prosperous. It showed that you were my people by the way you acted and the way that I returned with blessing in my presence. But now it's been lost. Render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless. Or the poor. Let none of you devise evil in your heart things. Be a support to those who have no support. Maybe widows and the poor, the wanderer, the person who's lost, the person who's on a journey. He says something interesting. This is the message that he has been sending to his people over a period of time through multiple prophets and messengers. Now listen to what the Lord says. To his prophet, he says, but they refused to pay attention to what I told them. Say the word refuse. Refuse. They refused to pay attention. Now watch this. This is how they portrayed it. They refused to listen to the message God was sending them over time with great patience, with great repetition. And it says they refused and turned a shoulder against the Lord. Have you ever done that? Somebody telling you something, and it's like, I'm not going to listen to that. And you turn and you're walking away. Those of you who are parents in the room, have you ever seen a child do that? Oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. That you're from the old school. You don't get it. You don't understand. You're irrelevant. I get it. I know what I'm doing. I've got my way. Have you ever seen a child do that? Well, maybe they weren't quite that, overt with their body language, but they stood there. They let you finish your speech, your lecture. Attention. They're not agreeing with you. Their mind is. And they eventually just turn. And they turn a shoulder against your instruction. Their mother. No, I'm kidding. I just want to make sure you're awake. You know where they get that from? You, me, us. My parents are here this morning. They could tell you. Remember the time? Attention. They turned their stubborn shoulder from the Lord, and they stopped their ears so they would not hear his word. You who are like, younger than me, like 30 and under. I said younger than me. I was just giving you an approximation. Younger than me. I remember when I was a kid, stop your ears, you make noise, and you can't hear what other people are saying. I'm not listening to you. to tell the people, listen, you've done some religious things, but, and there was a day of and you are taking and not listening and paying attention to my instruction that I have given with great patience over a long time, many messages, many messengers saying the same thing to you, and you have turned a stubborn shoulder to what I have told you. You have stopped your ears so that you would not hear my word. Turn to the person next to you and say, I think they're in trouble. I think, come on, say it. I think they are in trouble. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens to these people when they turn a stubborn shoulder against God's word and instruction, against God's good plan for them. And they stop their ears. They fill their ears with something else rather than his word. You see, it's not just you and I putting our fingers in our ears and not listening to him. It's that we stop up hearing him by putting something else in our ears. You get that? You hear that this morning? We fill our ears with some other notion, some other philosophy, some other thing that sounds good and might be close to his word, but it is not his word. And it can sound really great, and it can sound kind of moral, and it could sound something that hits the sentiment strings of your heart, but it is not his word. Now watch what happens when they turn their shoulder against the Lord and they stop up their ears from hearing him, listening. They made their hearts die. They made their own hearts hard against the Lord. Against the Lord. We stop up our ears from listening to him. Now we still know about him. We still do some religious things. But our heart grows hard against his word. Yeah, I know that one. Seem anything really happens. And we, our heart starts Lord runs off. And we start to get bitter. We start to get critical. We start to get negative. No good thing takes root on this hard heart of ours. And what we do is we start to set a pattern of collecting depressed, doing all kinds of things outside of God's word. And here's the reality. We still call out to God, and he doesn't seem to listen or answer. And so we blame him when in reality, it is our own doing. Because the moment we turned our shoulder against God's instruction, the moment we stopped our ears from listening to him or listened to other voices, we have now set the course for the condition of our heart to become hard. And we are on a road to get more and more disconnected from him. And the reality is, it was not his fault. It was mine. And I will blame God, and I'll blame the church, and I'll blame some other Christians, or I'll start to question Scripture, and that can't mean what it says. And we just start going down this whole track of thinking like this. Christianity doesn't work. God doesn't, you know, this. And all because we made a decision that God didn't know what he was talking about. Or he said something that I don't quite understand or agree with from my perspective. And rather than sacrificing my flesh and sowing to the Spirit of God's Word, I have now started a process of my heart getting hard. You know how a hard heart works, right? You ever been in a relationship with somebody whose heart has turned hard towards you? Angry? They're hurt? They disrespect you? They demand things? Manipulate? No good thing comes. No life-giving comes out of it. You do nice things because they're hard. Hard-hearted. This is what happens to He said, I want you to finish this temple. I have some good things planned. You were once prosperous. Well, I got news for you. I'm going to be gracious and merciful and bring those kind of days back. And the reason that they were lost was in how you live to honor me in private and in public. You didn't arrest the motives of your heart. You didn't arrest selfishness out of your own need for the benefit of somebody else. You didn't give out of your prosperity to somebody else. You didn't provide support for those who needed it. You had evil lurking in your heart from small things. In other words, how do I win this discussion at work so I look better than they do to my supervisor, manager, boss? It was no longer about the truth of what you're saying. It was that I could win and look better. That kind of thoughts are those becoming motives of a Christian, a follower. Because you did not listen, you made your own heart hard. Unless you would have heard my law and the words that the Lord of through many messengers, through many opportunities for you and I to hear, to receive a message from the Lord through someone, through the Scripture. To move beyond just religious gracious and merciful, and we like hearing about it and his compassion, and it warms our heart, and all of that is true. But none of that removes the fact that God can get angry. We can get angry without sinning. It's possible. Don't sin in your anger, the Scripture says. And it says, because they did this, the Lord got angry, and this was his response. As I called, and they did not hear. In other words, he called to us, he called to them, they turned a shoulder, we stopped up our ears. He says, because I called to them, and they would not hear, so they now call, and I will not hear them when God won't listen. And I scattered them among the whirlwind, like a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. This is a place that was inhabited and prosperous, and this is what became of it, because they turned away and didn't pay attention to the conviction and the covenant and the promise of the Lord. And their hearts got hard. They brought it on themselves. Here's the good news. Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. He goes on to say, listen, I'm going to continue to work because I have a plan. And I want my people of it in this life is blessing. Prosperity, not just things, the prosperity maneuver and walk through dark times knowing that he's with us, and we know the value of perseverance. That kind of prosperity too. Saying he is still going to do. But the reason it was lost is because they were offensive. They did religious things. They've even fasted and prayed. They obeyed some rules, but the issue people who don't have support, or who are wandering, or the poor, or the Lord sent them messages about it. I want to be among you. I want my presence there. I want blessing. I want you to know what it is to live in the prosperity of my presence and who I am and be a light to the world and let them be affected by it. But they turned a shoulder and stopped up their ears. I will tell you that I'm very grateful for this body of believers. And for the leadership of this church that I have the privilege of working alongside. There has been such a generosity for those who are in need, a generosity in missions, and those who have a need to be able to do something to reach other people, the generosity of our benevolence for those who are in need of it. Some of the things that we do for families or widows from time to time. Listen, the Lord takes notice of that. And one of the responses because of that has been a measure of prosperity, of his presence and blessing in this church. Now, we need to do more of it, and we need to do more of some other things too. I'm just signifying one thing. It's one of the reasons that there's growth in this church. It's one of the reasons that there's life here. This is not a perfect place. Like I've said many times, this is not a perfect place because I know the pastor. Okay? But there is a sincerity of faith. We have to make sure that we don't become obstinate with his conviction in our life. Because I will tell you that this place could become desolate. Your home could be desolate. I think that would never happen in my home. Well, the desolation may not be resources. The desolation might be in the midst of the prosperity that you saw as a blessing from the Lord in your resources, and in the back door came a desolation of relationship. Spiritual famine though you went to church. Here, and you justified them and brought yourself a false sense of peace. Deceive ourselves, and you think it's not possible, I tell you, start turning a shoulder against the Lord, when we stop up our ears from hearing Him and obeying. This is about in the beauty of these three prophetic books. Along and covers up. It covers us. It doesn't mean every prayer is answered. Sincerity of faith that brings you and him to the table of negotiation, so to speak, where you share something, he shares back, and you discuss it, and you work through it, and there's a purpose, and there's meaningful, personal communication happening between the two of you because relationship is set. That's good. That's different than I'm not listening to you. I'm turning a shoulder against you. I'm not going to respond to conviction of your spirit or your word. And yet when I find myself in willful disobedience, I'm going to still call out to you and I expect you to answer. I expect you because you're gracious. Because you love us all. That you're obligated. And our willful disobedience to Him and turning a shoulder and not listening to Him, how is it that we can turn to Him and say, I'm going to continue like this, but you must listen to me? He's very clear. After much patience and repetition of getting our attention, we continue to turn our shoulder and stop our ears up against His word, that at that point, He can say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you anymore. You can pray all you want. You can do religious things all you want. But your heart is far from me. I do not have to listen to you. At the moment we recognize it and we ask forgiveness and repent and move back to Him, relationships restored, and He starts listening to you and I again. You see, He didn't just leave Jerusalem and Israel the way they were. Protection, all those things back into their life. And that's His plan for you and I. He'll listen to you. I mean, I don't know if that means He's going to say yes all Him, and you're listening to Him, and I'm doing the same. I want to read something to you and wrapping this up. I'd like you to listen to this. His appeal in this prophecy. People, and for the religious leaders and the priests, everybody, to stop and to realize their lack of blessing want you to hear it, that our lack of blessing is not a but it is by our disappointment, or sorry, our disobedience of the covenant of His law and His promises and His word. Always an antecedent to conversion or a significant life transformation. What I mean is there's something that happens before conversion. There's something that always is present right before a major life transformation and change. It's this. It is called sorrow. You see, right before coming to faith in Christ, there's this moment of great sorrow. And it's the moment that we recognize and we realize that we are sinful, or we're lost, or we're broken, or we're, you know, oppressed, or we've been guilty of things. And we feel the sorrow of that. And then we hear about this good news of forgiveness. It's this realization of our sin, our being broken, and now there's hope in Christ and healing. The moment where we're sorrowful for our disobedience, right before the major transformation of our life. In other words, the Holy Spirit convicts me of something. And I recognize He's right. And if I'm to be honest with myself, this is who I've been and how I've acted and the motive of my heart. And with that comes a grieving. I'm so sorry. I feel terrible about this. I'm sick about it. I mean, Scripture talks about David going without food. He couldn't even eat. He was sick, filled with sorrow over his sin. And it moved him to a place that sorrow did its perfect work, moving us to a place of asking forgiveness and bringing life change. You see, before every conversion, there's a moment of sorrow. Before a major life transformation, there's a moment watched it in some of you over the years I've been here. You were desperate. You didn't know what was going to happen. You had such grief, anxiety, sorrow. You started showing up, and when you were showing up at church, watched you, walked with you through some of it. And I counted a privilege. And then He restored. And He started hearing your prayers. And you drew close to Him. Important things started to matter. Religious things slipped away, and it was all a recognition of God's favor and grace to be regained, that you could be at the table with Him again, and He would listen to you. Let me ask you this. Is God listening to you? Or are they just prayers that He's not hearing because you and I are doing some things where we've turned a shoulder against His instruction. We've stopped up our ears from hearing His word. And our heart is slowly becoming calloused and hard, though we are around the church, other believers. Or is there a life flow of relationship that's happening with him that is producing blessing.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.